The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. If you missed any of our conversation with Field Yates from ESPN on the Packers NFL draft, you can find that on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. He is just a wealth of knowledge. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of the draft and teams' rosters and what they did last year, and you heard that. The only thing that he felt like he wasn't up on was Chewy's theory that the Packers needed to draft a running back behind Josh Jacobs.
Well, obviously, he just needs to for next year's draft prep. Just download the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast, Wisconsin On Demand, and he can hear the thoughts from the big guy.
There you have it.
I mean, probably just give you a call, too, right? You got time.
Who, me?
If Field called you and said, Chewy, what do the Packers need this year? You'd be willing to share that information.
You think he wants to talk on the phone?
Not on a Monday. I don't take any calls on Mondays.
You think he'd remember who Field is if he called him?
I mean, Field's a pretty unique name.
Hey, Chew, it's Field.
Yeah.
Who?
Who? You would think it was Justin Fields.
And he would immediately hang up. First he would say, you suck, and then he would hang up. So I want to talk about what the Packers did this weekend in the draft. I texted you guys in our group text. I was at a bachelorette party on Friday, but monitoring the Packers picks in the draft. And I was thrilled with what they did on Friday. Just absolutely thrilled with the Edgerrin Cooper, who was the number one linebacker on most people's draft boards, the people who pay attention to this kind of thing. And then the safety from Georgia in Bullard. I loved those picks. I thought they obviously addressed needs that they had. They obviously are young. They are both aggressive players, which again is a big buzzword you're going to hear a lot with Jeff Hafley and this upgraded defense. Did you guys have the same reaction to the Friday night picks?
I was excited about Cooper and Bullard. I got a little bit more confused as we moved into the third round. Running back made sense, but then another linebacker in Tyron Hopper made me a little bit confused, because if they're only using two linebackers most of the time, and in Jeff Hafley's words, the third linebacker is only going to be on the field 15 to 20% of the time, I don't know if you use another draft pick on somebody who's only going to be there that amount of snaps.
I'm okay. They carpet bombed O-line. Safety,
linebacker.
Those were all positions of need. I'm concerned about the run defense right now. I'm just very concerned. This linebacker, he's small. I understand what they're trying to do, but we had the same issue when we played Tampa Bay back in the day. Small linebackers who could run. So when you have that, you run downhill at them. You know you're not going to beat them around the corners. And I'm just very suspect of those two interior D linemen and the size of some of these linebackers. That's how they're going to get attacked. No one's going to run outside of them because they're fast. It's all going to be downhill. And if they can stay stout on the D line, then they shouldn't have problems. But right now, that's a big question.
Because theoretically, you now have more down linemen than you had before, right? Like, isn't that supposed to be the difference in moving from a 4-3 to a 3-4?
Yeah, but the gaps change, right? So before you had a 5-man front, essentially. Now you got a 4-man front, and your gaps change. You know, your blocking schemes change. It's all combination blocking. It's we've been taught take level one to level two, which means do not come off of the defensive lineman until he's secured. And then you come off.
If they're playing sub, well, didn't they have four down linemen? We had that conversation last year with Matt LaFleur when we were like, well, how come there's only two linemen on the field? Well, we consider those outside linebackers linemen when we're in nickel. And if you're playing nickel 75 to 80% of the time, how much is that really different from last year?
Is that the number we're at, by the way, at this point, 75 to 80%?
Yeah.
I think when we pulled the number last year, it was like 60% of the time. The league was league-wide. Yeah. 60% of the time they were in nickel.
But they might be getting to, you know, with a small linebacker like that who can run. I don't know. That might be smokescreen by Hafley. Because what'd the guy run? Four something?
I mean, he was really athletic. I think they're going to try and mitigate that with just being aggressive with those guys.
I'm just very suspect of putting a nickelback in the box 75% of the
time. Yeah, that's how the Cowboys got destroyed. Jordan Love told Micah Parsons, when you guys put that safety as a linebacker, we ran at you every time, and we weren't going to stop.
Yeah.
And that's a plan for a lot of teams.
Sure.
The thing is, linebackers now are just that size. That's like just now 6'3".
Three.
Yeah. He's not even that. Fit. He's like 6, isn't he like 6'2", 229?
Cooper is 6'2", 230.
Which would lead me to believe he feels to me more of the weak side, you know, because Walker's a bigger guy.
6'4", 240.
When I'm coming downhill at you, Jen, and I'm 257 pounds, it doesn't take much for me to secure a guy that weighs 230 pounds.
So the only thing I'm seeing here on this article that I'm reading about Edgerrin Cooper, who is who we are discussing, he has 34-inch arms, which puts him in the 95th percentile. Mm-hmm. He has an 80 1/4 wingspan, which puts him in the 88th percentile. Those dimensions give him the ability to frequently knock down passes and play taller than he actually is.
Okay. I mean, yes, but they're not going to run around these guys. That's all I'm saying. I say their weakness is going to be downhill running. That's just how I see it. Because I know if I was a offensive coordinator going up against Halfley's defense and he's playing that way, then I'm running downhill. I'm not running outside.
So let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about the competition, because Gabe, you mentioned, you know, and Chewy, you call it carpet bombing, and that's when you just throw a bunch of picks at a position and hope that one of them hits. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur talking about why they want competition at each of these positions.
I don't necessarily think something changed. I think it kind of, are you referring to just how we drafted three safeties and two linebackers? It kind of is just how it unfolded, quite frankly, and I'm a firm believer that you can never have enough competition. It's going to bring out the best in somebody in that room. And so I do think that when our guys are pushing one another, they're going to get better. And so that's what we're really excited about. I think we got a lot of competition, and it doesn't just pertain to the defensive backfield or the inside backers. I still think, you know, I look at our wide receivers, our O-line, our running backs, tight ends. I mean, everybody's competing for snaps, for balls, and I just think that we're going to be in a better place because of that.
Look, the luxury of having 10 picks, I think that's what it ended up being when it was all said and done, right? The Packers ended up with 10 players.
11?
11.
11 players, is that you can do that. You can go out there and say, we like this guy, but this guy was also on our board and he's available at this pick. Let's put him on there and see what he can do. And they fulfilled all their needs, didn't they, guys? I'm not looking at the roster going, well, they left a glaring hole at blank. Unless you thought they needed to add wide receiver, which we have discussed ad nauseum, like the offensive line feels like they have solidified it a little bit.
But we have to see if they can play. We don't even know if they can play. That's the thing.
Reason to get more than one guy at the positions,
yes.
Right? If there is something you missed on the draft evaluation, then you've got somebody else maybe who could step in and take advantage of the opportunity.
I think Goody would have been happy if just one of Dontavian Wicks or Jaden Reed turned out to be good. He got two that were good.
Yeah.
So even if Goody takes a step back, but one of Bullard, Williams, or the other guy whose name's escaping me at the safety position ends up being good, then it doesn't really matter. Because if you got a starter guy's going to be there a long time, and same goes for that linebacker position. I still think they feel pretty good about Isaiah McDuffie, but they looked at it and said, well, we could take two guys, and if they're both good, then we have a good problem. And that's kind of just how they're going to do it moving forward.
Has anyone in the building addressed the Zach Tom move at all or no? I mean, they said that Jordan is going to play left tackle, or at least start out.
He's going to start at left tackle, and then we'll see how the competition goes.
No one in the building has even brought that up, that, hey, we're going to move Tom here, and Rashid Walker's I know they said best five players available, which is what you do, but
I think they're going to have a hard time convincing Zach Tom he's a center. If I could get paid tackle money, why am I taking center money? So I think they got to win that battle first.
If you can be a perennial Pro Bowl player at center as opposed to right tackle, I'd make the move.
Correct. That's what they have to convince him at. That he's going to be all pro level versus...
I don't think that guy's a problem at all.
Yeah, even though the money he's saying, there's a disparity between tackle and center money.
I love the kid, but he's got a center's body. He does. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know why
drafted
Jen,
as
I don't know why Jen thinks that's just
and
so funny.
And the center
I love
number.
It. Yeah, I love it.
And the number.
Frankie Bond.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You could have just left it with the body, right? You've got the expertise there. And then you go, but he's got a center number. And we're like, okay, well, now you lost us. Hey, have you guys tried Celsius energy drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need, that I need to stay active and energized all day long. I use Celsius to get me through college football season. There is no doubt about it. And of course, on a Monday, Celsius will be your best friend. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Irma?
The last few weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
We have an update to Garbage Can Gate 2024. So I had told you guys that something was getting in our garbage cans, was digging through the bags, was dragging garbage all over our yard. It was embarrassing. One day, Dario left it there for an entire day because he wanted Chase to clean it up because he thought it was Chase's fault that he wasn't tying the bags right. So we went out and did what Chewy suggested. We got an Arlo camera, threw it up on the front door. I have since sent you guys the video. Last night, Dario gets an alert at 11:27. An animal at the front door. And there it is! Little Rocky Raccoon or Rocket Raccoon or Rascal the Raccoon just traipsing across our front porch, headed to the smorgasbord, which is our garbage can.
He looks pretty fat and happy.
Doesn't there's only one. He is, I thought there'd be like three or four.
That's the fattest raccoon I have ever seen.
He's eating good.
He may have eaten the other two. There may have been three initially. This guy is who? You want to talk about having a center's body?
So what he has done is climbed up on the recycling bin, and then sure enough, now you see I sent you guys pictures in our text.
Yeah.
We put locks on our cans. We got them off of Amazon. We put locks on the cans. But there's your culprit. There's the guy. That's who's been digging through our garbage. It was, in fact, a raccoon. Just the one, though, because why would you share?
I'd be concerned about the tops of those cans just caving under his weight.
But he's clearly climbing up the tree and then jumping onto the recycling bin.
Is it the tree or is it the spout there that's up on the side?
No, I bet it's got to be the tree.
Because if you look at the tree, those are thin.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. It's a pine tree.
Did you not see him get on top of it? You just saw him there?
I was asleep. Dario, God love him, right? Because he knew that this has been like annoying me, frustrating me. Like the garbage is a pain. It's out in front of the yard. And I leave first every morning, so I'm the one picking it up and putting it back in the can. So he wakes me up at 11:30 last night and goes, "We got him!" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Out of a dead sleep. And he goes, "The raccoon! I caught him!" And he sent me the videos that I have sent you guys of the raccoon, you know, scurrying across our front porch over towards the garbage cans, and then the pictures that he took of the one sitting on top of the recycling bin.
That's
and then
awesome.
He's clearly trying to get the lock off.
Yes.
What is going to be, are we going to just go lock method and say
good enough?
Yeah. Or are we going to be maybe live trapping and relocating our friend?
It's a great question. What would you suggest? Should we be live trapping and relocating?
You don't want my suggestion. Yeah. I already got in trouble one time for what I do with raccoons.
Just say there's an air rifle.
Nah, just maple syrup.
A Yeah, but
Gabe?
I'd have to dispose of the body then, Chew. I don't want to do that.
Throw it in the neighbor's dumpster. You've done that before.
Yeah, with doo-doo.
Yeah, it's different between poop and, you know.
A dead animal, a carcass, if you will.
How bad would you have freaked if you didn't figure it out and you opened the lid and that raccoon was right there staring you in the face?
So bad. Because he's menacing. Like, even the picture I sent you
guys.
Oh, yeah, they're nasty. And I almost caught him last week, Thursday, because I could hear him on the can. And I was trying to open the window to get a good picture, get a good video to show you guys. And I couldn't get the storm windows off. So, so I was stuck. Yeah. So I knew we had a critter, but I just wanted to tell you guys there's been a conclusion. I did hear, Joshy, that ammonia discourages wildlife. So you can put ammonia on your garbage cans, and that's something that will keep them away. So maybe we try that.
How disappointed. I mean, it's great that you have the pictures in the video. It's fantastic. But for Dario to wake up at 11:30 for a video of a raccoon walking across your front lawn.
He didn't wake up. He was still awake.
Well, no, waking you up.
Oh, waking me up.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thrilled. I was happy.
You were thrilled?
I think it warrants
for the video?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That can't wait till the morning?
No. 100%.
It's breaking news.
I mean, the fact that I went out.
Chewy's
suggestion was to go buy the Arlo cans.
Yeah.
I went out and bought them, stationed them, you know, one on the front porch and one on the other side of the house. I think it worked out pretty well.
It's not now, the last time you're going to catch things on the Arlo camera.
I guess I value my sleep differently.
I got a robin that is beating the crap out of my windows. The thing is so dumb. Why do they tap on the window? I'll take a picture. I have three windows with like hundreds of chips in the window from a robin.
Are there bugs in there that they're trying to eat?
In the window? No, he wants to come inside and I go over there when he's just... And I go scare it out, and the thing comes right back.
In the window?
I'll show you. He's destroying my windows.
I wish you could have seen Chewy's face when he looked at me like, are you dumb?
don't bugs frequently end up between windows there?
No, the robin. It's a bird.
Yes, but if there's dead bugs on the bottom of the windowsill there where you open and close it, he would therefore be trying to get them.
He wants to come inside.
Oh, he just wants to hang out.
He wants to hang out with Chewy. Yeah. Chewy's so cool that animals are trying to break in from the outside to come hang out.
He's heard about Blammer Thursdays.
He's like, why am I not invited?
Anyway, thank you to everybody who was interested in the coyote caper of the raccoon caper of 2024, the garbage can situation we were dealing with at Casa Melendez. I appreciate everybody. I did have somebody who said to me, I told you guys this, came up to me at the baseball game and was like, hey, we don't traditionally have raccoons in our neighborhood. So I would be surprised if it was a raccoon. Now, it is not just a raccoon. It is the raccoon.
We don't have raccoons in our neighborhood.
He said we traditionally don't have raccoons.
I mean, don't you... There's kind of like a wooded area behind
100%.
Your house.
Yeah, we clearly do have raccoons. Unless this one ate all the other ones. You might be the only one
Get
left.
In my belly!
I will send you guys a picture. We should post it on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account of the meaty raccoon that we have here. But again, he has been eating our garbage for the last month or so. So
he's got the body of a sinner.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, did you?
Old Zach Tom crossing the front porch there.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let me tell you about my friends over at Aria. For your next night out, you should make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate, an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity and delights in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. The restaurant transcends tradition and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. So come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot? Okay.
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah. on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Monday. I guess I'm kind of hoping that the rain has stopped by the time we get out of here this morning. Yesterday was gray and lousy. It's incredible how just a gray day can affect your, like, overall mood. Oh, and also your NBA team being down 3-1 to the Pacers. That'll really affect your mood as well. We started the show this morning talking about the Bucks losing to the Pacers and now facing elimination as they come back to Milwaukee for a game Tuesday. And, of course, the reality of Giannis likely not playing in this series. Dame likely not playing again in this series. Gabe, you haven't heard anything otherwise, right? The Dame injury seems serious enough to keep him out of any games remaining.
Yeah, it kind of seems like that. Haven't seen any updates. Haven't seen any, oh, yeah, they're hopeful. I mean, Dame was in a boot on Saturday. Have no idea if he was still in the boot yesterday. I mean, the updates we're getting about Giannis seems like he's progressing, but he hasn't done any full court 5-on-5 work. And
that's,
at this point, it just doesn't seem like he's going to be able to go. So, yeah, if both of them are out, you're not, you know, maybe they pull off a miracle and get a win, but they're not going to win 3 in a row.
What is the case for optimism here? Obviously, we spent the whole first hour of the show, other than our conversation with Field Yates about the Packers draft, talking about why we are frustrated, why we are angry, why we feel let down. And yes, we understand that injuries are a part of sport, and the Bucks have been snake bitten by injuries this postseason. That is a huge reason why they are down 3-1 to the Pacers. But it also feels like I want to be mad, and I am mad, and who should I be mad at? So, Gabe, give me the other side of it. The optimism, the case for optimism surrounding this Milwaukee Bucks team.
That John Horst has pretty much been the general manager that everybody wants every other general manager in the state of Wisconsin to be, right? Like, they blew it up last year. They got rid of their coach, decided to bring in Damian Lillard. He's aggressive. And if he and the ownership sees a deficiency in the roster, I think they're going to address it this offseason. I feel pretty confident about that. Like, they have always been a very aggressive team going out and making those changes when they can.
So who's safe? Giannis, Dane, Chris.
I think that's about it.
Would Beverly do sign a 1-year deal?
Well, they traded for him. I think he's got 1 year left, yeah. I mean, if they brought back Pat Bev, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
No.
If they could get younger there, I'd prefer that. But I think that he brings an attitude that you'd like to have, especially in the postseason. But he can also grind on guys. And over the course of a regular season, 82 games, that can wear you out.
Yeah, but I just don't. I mean, it's the bottom of the roster, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you need somebody at the backup point guard spot. Like, you need a backup point guard. Every team needs one.
Yeah, I get it. It's just like they got to learn how to play together. And I know that comes in time, but never got to a point where, like, really? They just never played well together. You know? Someone's dominant and the other two guys take a back roll. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Going forward, if we're looking at 2024, 2025, Giannis will be a year older because that's how time works. Do they need to be managing him differently in the regular season? I know that the league has had a lot of conversations about load management. There are fans who obviously don't like the idea of the superstars of the league not playing as much as some of the other role players. Do the Bucks need to be managing him differently? Because this is now the second time, right? Second? I don't want to be hyperbolic, but this feels like it's a recurring thing with Giannis that towards the end of the season, his body's betraying him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he missed a couple of games last year. The year before Christmas time. Year before that, obviously, Giannis had the knee injury. I mean, it certainly could be as he's now approaching 30, will be 30 next year. And maybe they manage it differently. I don't know. Good luck telling Giannis he's only going to play 60 games. Because also, he's going to want to be able to play 65 games and qualify for all those awards. And I think the league is right to do that, by the way, because otherwise we start having a regular season problem. The reason why I say the regular season doesn't matter is because the league and the coaches and everybody in it tell me that the regular season doesn't matter.
Okay, so let's have a conversation about that then, because Mike and Eagle weighed in saying, this is an off-season question, but legitimately besides Giannis, Dame, and maybe Chris, you have to get younger. If the regular season doesn't matter, then why not give some of the younger guys more run during the season to get them ready for situations like this? We have to trade our pieces for younger pieces if possible, but don't know if that will do the trick.
And that's a Doc thing. Because the one thing that Adrian Griffin was doing, like Beauchamp and Andre Jackson, the guys that are actually young on the roster, the younger, you know, people that you have, they were getting more time under Griffin. And then Doc showed up and they were getting less and less time. But they have to, you know, I mean, you've seen the difference, just the energy that Andre Jackson can bring out there when he's, again, the offense can be hit or miss, but the last two games, the energy that he has brought off the bench is undeniable. But Doc, again, that goes back to Doc, and you know, you have to play some of these younger guys to that point, so they're ready when they play in the postseason.
Clint in the 312 saying, I can't expect bench players to play well when they haven't played since before the All-Star break, when Doc Rivers only plays seven people in his rotation. So that maybe that is a question for Doc going forward.
And look, I mean, they may have been trying to shorten the rotation because they had such a short time, and Doc's trying to get all of his things going, and he's trying to get them to gel, so now people are playing more. Yeah, it was just a disaster in the second half of the season because of choosing the wrong coach in the offseason.
Chewy, you tell me, am I wrong to be as frustrated, angry, mad, sad as I am this morning, knowing the Bucks are facing elimination and they will probably not be able to win this series?
Probably no. No. Now, if they had a great regular season and the team was really gelling together and then Dame and Giannis get hurt, then you're like, you got to be kidding me. But I can't even get to that point because they were just blah all year long. I am going to be intrigued as to what Giannis says at the end of this season, because he's going to say something, right? He always does.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's inflammatory or not, whatever, you can interpret it whatever way you want. But he's going to say something.
The thing is, if he's injured, he's going to have to say it to somebody like our guy Eric Name at The Athletic, because when you're injured, you're not made available after the game.
But is he going to say, we need to get younger and better on the back half of the roster?
I don't know if he'll say that. I don't know if he'll say that publicly. Because he's tight with a lot of these guys.
No,
like, he doesn't want to, you know, that's why the Bucks purposefully removed him from the Dame Drew situation. They didn't want to go, hey, this is what we're going to do, because they didn't want him to be involved and have the emotions of, oh, I really like Drew. Oh, and if you do the same now this year, oh, he really likes Pat. He really likes Bobby. These guys have grown and won a championship together.
Let's see. Our friend Craig has a solution or a blueprint for success in the next game on Tuesday. He says Portis atones for his inexcusable ejection last night to help pull off the 3-1 comeback. LFG. And here's a question from John that I would like for you guys to answer. Did the championship window open in 2008 and is now closed? That's a question. Is the championship window now closed?
I don't think so. As long as you have Giannis, as long as you have Dame, the championship window is open.
But a year older, each of them.
Sure, but the championship window is still open. This wasn't you didn't get Dame because it was going to be a championship year window of one. He signed the extension because you have a championship window of 2 or 3 years. And now one of those is, you know, lopped off. So the championship window is smaller.
I'll give him one more year. A whole full offseason, couple of moves. But I'm out. If it doesn't happen next year, I'm out.
You've never been in.
That's true.
Yeah, it's going to be very
hard. But
it's
always empty.
But he's like, always standing.
Be out if he's in.
No, but he's always standing at the door of the club waiting for them to open up for the postseason, and then he's going to hang out. Like, that's the way it works.
How many games are you going to give them in the next season? If it doesn't look like...
I'll give them halfway.
I just don't think this idea of the regular season not mattering can be something the Bucks subscribe to next year. I think you need to invest more in the regular season. Just proof of life, proof of concept, to show yourself that what you're doing is working or will work when it really matters. This idea of we're just going through the motions for these 82 games...
Yeah.
I don't know that is that it has.
I don't think that's what they're doing. When I say the regular season doesn't matter, I'm saying the wins and losses don't. We saw this with Bud. The regular season's the time to experiment with rotations and experiment with, oh, what happens if we put this guy with that guy? And then at the end of the night, if you win, you lose. Like, you're going to win enough games, we are going to be a playoff team. The regular season's a time to experiment. When I say it doesn't matter, the wins and losses aren't as important as the experimentation that you can do.
Like, I knew in 97 our window was closed. Closed. You know, you talk about T.O. catching that ball at the end of the game. We got worked by Minnesota twice that year, and it wasn't even close. And Atlanta was I knew it was closed. It's closed. If we beat San Francisco, or they call that a fumble, we go to Atlanta and probably get housed. You just know when the window's. So I'll give them one more year. One more year.
It's very generous of you. It's very benevolent. Yeah. Like, I mean. anyone who questions your character.
It's a good Monday. Yeah. And it really shouldn't be.
It's not a good Monday for me, pal.
Joe weighing in. Joe from the 551. I don't even know where the 551 is. Bucks Nation not giving up. Even if our team is in a major hole, the Bucks will now win in 7 instead of 6. There are certainly people out there who are still optimistic. Maybe we should put that on the poll. Will the Bucks win this series in 7? Let's just see if there are people out there who believe the Bucks will, in fact, beat the Pacers and move
insulting.
On. Look, Joe coming through. I mentioned Craig a few moments ago. There are people out there who believe the Bucks can pull this off.
If you tell me that Giannis and Dame are both playing tomorrow, yeah, I can jump into that. But you're going to need both of them to win 3 games in a row.
Maybe today's players should suck it and realize, I'm just reading, and realize the way to stay healthy is to honestly play more. Ramping up and ramping down is the key to soft tissue injuries. Load management should be playing a quarter or a half. Not sitting games or entire weekends.
Sounds
that
like
from
he's
Alan
my age.
In the 414. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we do, guys, I do want to, this is your Q2 call. Tell you about my friends over at Pottawatomie and remind you that we are giving away a Pottawatomie Casino Hotel prize pack. That's right. We're giving it away right now. And we will take caller number 8. Caller number 8. 800-990-3776. Caller number 8 right now will win a Pottawatomie Casino prize pack from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. Caller number 8 right now wins a prize pack from Pottawatomie.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can answer the question.
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So put your best face on. Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out with some bang.
All right, I suppose we can resign ourselves to the idea that bad luck is playing a role in the Bucks situation. But how do you explain the Brewers, Gabe? They get a little too close at a party? Is it contagious? Because now we've got the issue with the injuries with the Brewers. If I'm turning my attention to the Brew Crew this summer, remember, because I told you last year,
yep.
Took a step back and was like, I'm going to get real invested come the postseason. And then, well, that was a letdown as well. The injuries that the Brewers are dealing with right now are pretty, pretty, pretty depressing.
Yeah, finding out that Wade Miley torn UCL. Now he has to go undergo Tommy John, so see you later, Wade Miley. It's a lot on the pitching staff, too. Yeah, with a couple of back injuries between Christian Yelich and Devin Williams, and yeah, it's just...
Let's just hope it doesn't come in threes.
With the Packers this fall?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying let's hope it doesn't come in
threes. You said hope it doesn't come in threes.
Did I say?
What would be the third team?
Then what do you mean by let's hope it doesn't come in threes?
The minor league baseball team in Econimwalk.
The Dock Hounds?
The Dock Hounds. Right?
I'm just trying to think of what other team. Our team? Are we going to come down with a bunch of ailments?
Joshy, does that count when he blasted out his hammy chasing a wiffle ball around?
It was a calf.
Or your calf, sorry.
Me and Giannis, both of us.
Couple soleus boys.
Soleus. Yeah.
Similar athleticism, too.
Yeah, but I'm better than you. Gabe said it.
Yeah. Which then, in turn, makes you more athletic than Giannis.
It's crazy that you needed Gabe. Yeah.
What a crazy thing. It's good to know that you're searching for my approval, big
Gabe's
guy.
Hurting right now. I'm just trying to build him back
Gabe
up.
Is hurt. Oh, because of the Bucks? No,
yes.
I feel like he's the most healthy of all of us. He's the most emotionally healthy of all of us here. He has convinced himself, and I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm saying, but he's resigned to the fact that the Bucks would have beaten the Pacers if not for the injuries, and injuries are fluky and bad luck, and since you can't control those things, he figures there's no reason to be upset about it.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to win last night. Were you?
Yes.
You're going into a playoff game that's going to be chippy and on the road without Giannis and Dame.
I don't know. Beasley was on his way to 60-point game there for a while.
Yeah. And then Portis gets ejected.
Yeah.
Have you decided who you're blaming yet?
You,
yeah.
You,
Toad Boy.
Toad.
How am I getting blamed?
I don't know. You're the person closest to me right now, okay? Somebody's got to catch it. And that's you.
Jeez.
But, you know, Tuesday's going to suck. The whole day leading up to the game is going to suck.
Unless we somehow get some miraculous good news. I mean, God once healed Reggie's hamstring.
That is true.
Can he do it to an Achilles and calf?
I'm going to be like Jenna and Forrest in her backyard going, please, God, fix Giannis Asolius. Please, God, fix Giannis Asolius. Please, God, fix Giannis Asolius. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.